Well, we're going to, I'm going to really attempt today to fill out this Colossians passage in chapter 3. It's intended for a couple of two or three New Year's messages. I just didn't know that the message last week would turn into two messages, but it did. And just titled this second part, The New You. And there's supposed to be a new you, and that new you is to be evolving continuously. You know, we think, and a lot of us have been taught, and I was, in the denomination I came from, you know, once you're saved, you're always saved, and that's what counts. And we talked about the Great Commission and all that, but one of the things that was not continually pressed and need to be was that you're a new creation in Christ, but that new creation is constantly being renewed. And change doesn't just happen at salvation. And this, a lot of Christian people are hung up on the day of salvation when they really repent of their sins and ask Jesus in their heart. They don't realize that this is only the beginning. And I'm to be evolving, changing. As I learn about God, as His Word begins to possess my heart and my mind, my soul, it's to be continually changing me because, listen, this whole walk, we're out here to fulfill the Great Commission, to reach people for Christ. But what else is to be happening to us once we accept Christ? We're to become Christ-like. This whole journey on earth is to prepare us to step into heaven. And it's a big shock, I think, for a lot of Christian people because they're just not prepared, and it's quite a little evolution process, if you don't call it that. You know, all of a sudden you lose this body and you're given a new one. And God says, I want you to be preparing. I want you to become Christ-like in holiness and purity and oneness with me so that when the day comes that I call you out of this body, it's not going to be a big shock. You're just going to step forward into the whole new you that you've been evolving into all this time. And if there's anything that I'm concerned about with a lot of Christian people is they stop growing. They just, it's like, and their response to me is, if I challenge them on some of these things we're looking at in Colossians 3, you know, is, hey, I'm just too far along in life, or I'm too old to change now. And it's like, you're not too old to be nice. You know, and here's an excuse, and you've all heard it, maybe, and I know nobody in here has ever used this excuse. Well, the older you get, just the grumpier you get. I'm entitled to be grouchy because I'm, you know, and it's like, and I understand that, and humanly speaking, I get it. But biblically speaking, God says that the older you get, mature in Christ, the nicer and more loving and more kind you're supposed to be. And then not Mr. and Miss Grump living down the street. And it's hard not to be grumpy. Things hurt more at this age. Not some of your age, but I'm noticing it in myself. And I'm taking glucosamine, chondroitin, yeah, that's great, chondroitin, whatever it is. And I'm taking that with MSM and hyaluronic acid, and why? To keep my joints rebuilt. And my knees started getting tender. And, you go to the, where I go, and they're telling, they start, pretty quickly start talking, oh, we can cut in there and fix it. And it's like, no, I'll take some of this other stuff first, let's don't cut too quick. But it's get in there and fix it and get out. I understand that. But I take that for myself, and your joints creak, and I used to just drop down on them, and I still do, but I kind of have to push myself up more with my hands now. And if something next to me is available, I'll pull myself up on it a little more than I used to. And since I had all the surgery stuff, my stomach muscles, I haven't been able to build them back enough yet. So it's real hard to push up with just my stomach. And as weird as it may sound, I'm just getting to where, lying in bed where I can just, how you can just raise up to sitting position without pushing yourself. I'm just getting where I can do that. Because, boy, it cut all those muscles. And I didn't know. You have to have experience there, and I don't want you to have it. Just take my word for it. It's really hard to pull yourself up after you've had that, because you've cut all that. But it's working, and I'm getting those exercises back and doing that. And I used to have to roll on my side and push myself up, stair step with my hands. And it's coming along. So all of this is saying, yeah, I understand, and we all know, that when you have things happen to you, you know, like our officer back here who has trucks run over him, you know, he really did. A big truck hit him on the job. Can you believe that? And he's banged up today. So you'll get those aches and pains, and it'll make you irritable. And I know Brene is not irritable ever, never, no. And so, but it can make you that way. And I understand, humanly speaking, where you just want to be a grump all the time, you know. And you move and you hurt. And anybody ever just going along and for no reason, there's just no reason for it, your sciatic just starts bugging you back here. And then you start getting a burning down your leg. And it's like, you know, what I do to deserve this? You know, or you go to reach for something and there's a burning in your arm or whatever, and it's like, or you're holding on to something. Anybody done that? And you find you're just holding on to something, all of a sudden it falls, and you still think you had a grip on it. Has anybody ever had that problem? And okay, yeah. And it just makes you want to be a grump. And then you loud noises bother you, dogs barking bother you, kids next door bother you, and in other words, everything bothers you. And that's why God's saying, listen to me, with all of this physical stuff that goes on with us, if you don't keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, it will conform you to just what the devil's trying to use it to conform you to, and take away your whole witness. And even in the midst of pain, when you're hurting and you don't feel good and all that, if your heart and mind is in the right place, back when we began this series, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits, keep your heart and mind on God's character, God's purpose, God's nature that you see revealed in Jesus Christ. And listen to me, it won't stop all the pain, but it will keep you from being transformed by the pain. You hear me? Because God's power is greater than the things in this world, even your physical pain. You go to 1 John, he says, greater is Jesus, his spirit within you, than what? Than he that's in the world. And you can be hurting and still have a witness. You cannot feel good and still have a witness if your heart and mind is on Jesus Christ. And then we've talked about the things to put off, and we're going to get, and let's pick up here now. In Colossians chapter 3, I want to hit this verse 12. And we've hit that some, but we're going to read from 12 through verse 17. And then kind of take the heart out of this and see where it applies. So he says, this is a New Living Translation today that I'm using. And so he says in verse 12, since God chose you, don't forget that. He chose you. You didn't, Jesus said in John, you didn't choose me, but what? I chose you to go and bear fruit. None of us chose him. He chose us. He called us. And the scripture tells us we can't even come to him unless he calls us. So he chose you. So what did he choose you to do? What did he choose you to do? Boy, what did he choose you to do? To be holy people he loves, and to clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And we kind of messed around with that before. And then he said, make allowance for each other's faults. And this just turns people. Doesn't this make you grumpy just hearing this? You don't have to. You mean I'm to make allowance for other people's mess ups? That's what he says. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And then he says, overall, above all, clothe yourselves with love. Got to be kidding, right? And then love has a bunch of ramifications here, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. He says, above all this, you've got to clothe yourself with love. He said, you've got to put it on top of all this other. It has to be clothed, wrapped around with love, or it means nothing. And then he says, that love binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace, and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. It's like, that's a whole truckload of stuff. It is, isn't it? You know, first of all, he's telling you got to put to death all these earthly things and sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy. You know, a greedy person is an idolater. That's enough just to kind of make you sad. And then you still got to get rid of all the anger and rage and malicious behavior and slander and dirty language. Let me ask you something. Can you go a week? I just wonder if any real honest person, Christian, can go 1 week without slandering somebody. We are so conditioned by how we grew up or this world or what we watch. I don't know, all of it. We're so conditioned to just slander without thinking. You ever just stand there and somebody you don't even know and you call them all these names? And you don't have to be cussing them. You can call them a jerk, idiot, you know, single cell brain, you know, whatever. And you just make all these terms. I let loose the other day and I did that. I didn't not say one cuss word, no bad word. I just let them know that their brain was the size of a Cheerio and all that kind of stuff. And not to their face, but they just did, somebody did something dumb and I just let them have it. They couldn't hear me, but I told them off. And just slander them. And then do you ever get with people and suddenly you're just kind of going at somebody? You're just picking the daylights out of them. It makes you feel good for a little bit, but then in your heart you don't feel so good because you know that God just says, I don't approve of this at all. You ever notice that by slandering somebody else you feel just a little bit better for a few minutes? You said, are you promoting this? No, I'm saying that's why we do it. Because at the core of hurting someone, we're making ourselves feel better for the moment because, see, we've been hurt ourselves. And we want to hurt someone else worse. And we talk about people because we're really not at peace in ourselves. And we get into all this because the love of Christ has not really enveloped us. And we still hold on to some of that old earthly stuff and that garbage. And I was thinking through, and I try to be as honest with you as I can. And I was thinking, you know, I've had to overcome a lot of hurts and insults. In this work, I've lost count of the dirty letters I've had sent to me when people used to mail things. And then emails, texts. You know, it's like, and people usually don't call me to tell me anything. If they're mad at me, they can't say it in person, so they'll text you or email you. And I did get a letter, you know, about a 4-page deal, putting me down pretty hard, not that many years ago. And so, but the point is, over the years, I've lost count, and then I found notes under my windshield wipers, you know, and that's not here. Don't look around here at this church, but in the other denominational churches, I had notes like, hope you die. Seriously. Burn in hell. You know, all that kind of stuff, you know, really. And this is church work, right? This is church stuff. And so I'm not saying all that to say poor me. I'm saying that somewhere in the process of that, there has to come a time when your heart and mind is so in Christ Jesus that you can take those things like that and say, you know what? This is revealing more about their heart than anything about me. Because a person who does that is not at all, they're not at all right with Christ. They're not all right at all. I mean, if you can put a note under somebody's windshield and say, hope you die, how much do you like yourself to do that? You know, really? You can't like yourself. You can't be at a person that is all at all got the love of Christ in you. And so, you know, when you look at this, you know, and it's like, God, that's one of the reasons God has me up here to say to you, Have you ever been slandered? If you've ever been cut down? If you ever had ugly things said and done about you? Look up here and say, if God can keep him going and keep me going. Tony's human. I'm not Superman. I'm not somebody that God is endowed with some special powers of protection. It's like, what is it? I'm a human being. I'm just a man called to do a godly job. And I feel inadequate most of the time. You will as a human. I mean, really, if you're honest with yourself, what human being can really do the work of the Lord and take any credit for it? We always feel inadequate. And the whole point of what I'm saying is, if God can take a regular guy like me and have all those kind of things aimed at him and still keep preaching his word and not let it destroy him, he can do it for you. And nothing special about me with this. It's just that I've had to go to God, and I really have. And I want to tell you something, and this is what I've had to do in dealing with this stuff. And I'm just sharing with you that this works for me. And maybe it'll work for you, and I believe it will for a lot of you, maybe most of us. I just have to tell God how I really feel. You see, a lot of times we act like we're afraid to tell God our feelings. And I just had to really just speak out loud, and I do, and I've taken notes or letters like that and say, God, you knew this, but I want to read this to you. You know, it helps me. I know he knows, but I want to read it to him. I want to share this with you, and so I do that. And here's what this says. And it hurts a lot. And right now, God, I just want to say, I just wish that what they said about me would happen to them. That's how I feel right now. And you know what he lets me do? He lets me vent. Get it out. Why? Because he doesn't want me to go back in there and mess up Ephesians where it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. So God, vent to God. Tell him your humanity. Look at the Psalms and learn from them. How did David keep going in the midst of adversity? He was just honest about how he felt at the moment. And he'd say things like, God, kill them all. Did he really want him to? He just felt like that. And God will let you vent. Tell him, this hurts. And I want to get even. I really want to see you throw a lightning bolt from heaven and just toast them right in front of me. Do you know you can say that to God? And God lets you get all that junk out so he can put his holiness in. It's just hard to put something in a filled up vessel that's filled up with anger and wrath and hate somewhere. You just got to open it up and say, God. And even if to the point, have I ever said, God, I'm upset with you right now? Yes, I have. When I lost my dad, I lost my home and I lost everything because that home was provided only as long as dad worked for that place. And I did. I was like, God, you took my dad. You've taken my home. I have a sick mother. I don't know where to put her. Who's going to take care of her? I don't. It was tough. I didn't even realize the benefit of just pouring it out before God. I sat out and cried and cried and cried. 22 years in the same place. And then all of a sudden it's ripped out from under you and no place for your mother to go. I didn't know who's going to take care of mom. She can't take care of herself. What am I going to do? God worked it out. God worked it out. A little small town not far from us, or very nice lady, let her come stay with her, and she was willing to watch her and help take care of her. And I won't tell you all my story, most of you've heard it before, but the point I'm trying to make is this. There comes a time when you just don't understand, and the frustrations of life and the hurts and pains are overwhelming you. You just got to take it to God, and this is how you get focused, because see, he's a big God. And he wants you to come and bring what's in your heart and get all the stuff out, because he doesn't want it to fester. You can't let it sit there and become something that's infected in your heart, because that'll corrupt your soul. And get it out. When you feel something, go to God. Don't turn to something else. Don't take something to cover it up. Just be honest with the Lord and pour out your heart. Tell him what you feel. You know, God, right now, I'd just like to run over that person, right? And he'll look at you and just hug you and hold you. And sometimes I can almost just, I know he doesn't, but I just like, maybe it's because I need to feel it. It's almost like I can just feel or sense that God's saying, yeah, I've thought that a few times myself. And as a matter of fact, God did, didn't he? God got so upset at humanity that he drowned them all except Noah and his little family. It's like, well, you've been there, haven't you? You got so upset with what people are doing, you brought a flood on the whole earth and killed them. You ever thought about it? So he understands. He put a rainbow in the sky to say, well, I'm not going to do that again. But he did it. And it's like, so God understands when you feel that way. He just didn't want you to go do it. He wants you to let him take care of it. So let's grab this right here. And you know, it's just this stuff. It just gets overwhelming. I have to deal with this stuff on a regular basis. I've had so much of it. I was telling someone was asking me just a few days ago on the phone, you know, about some particular thing, and I said, oh yeah, I got lectured about that. I got chastised. You know, things happen you don't even know about. And people out and about, are, especially when you're a pastor, they're really willing to offer their advice. And here's one of the best ones. This one I love. Don't you just love this one? When you've done something, you did the best you could under the circumstances, and then somebody comes along and said, well, if it would have been me. And that's when I have to go to God and say, don't let me do to them what I want to do. You know, don't you love it? And it kind of goes right up your spine, doesn't it? Well, if it would have been me, I would have done it this way. You know what the problem is? You weren't there. You weren't there. You know, we watch it, you know, I know you like sports things, but you'll watch a football game and you just yell at them and scream at them, but you're not the one down there getting your head knocked. And you can, you know, they show the reruns and all that. And what was that? What, that idiot? Well, you weren't down there with everybody coming at you. You didn't see it from the perspective of the player on the field. And that's the way it is in life. And too many Christians I've seen in life, they want to be spectators and call the shots for somebody else that's down there getting their head knocked in. We're all supposed to be on the field, and we're all supposed to be getting our head battered a bit. We're all soldiers of the cross. We're all warriors of God. So anyway, we get into this, and he says, so God chose you to be what? Holy people. I can't be holy unless I've got something inside for God to put his holiness. So I have to get all the junk out. And that's why he said get rid of all the anger and the stuff like that. Because he wants us to be holy and clothed with all these things. And then he goes to verse 13, which we haven't got to before. And this one's a tough one. He said, if you don't get this anger and this rage and this malice and all this unforgiveness crud out of your heart, then you're not going to be able to make allowance for somebody's faults. And you're not going to be able to forgive someone who offends you. He said, remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. How do you make allowance for other people's faults? What's he saying? And here's a misinterpretation of this thing. Let's clear this up. He never said, look in any translation you want, do any research on it. He never said make allowance for other people's sins. He said make allowance for their faults. There's a difference between my faults and my sins. Now, my sins can be a big fault. All right, but what is he talking about? And you know, if any of you have been married, you're married now, you know there's a difference between sins and faults. Are you married to anyone? You don't have to raise any hand, but are you married to anybody that just continually snores all night? That's a fault. It's not a sin, even though you've told God it is. You can't even sleep in the same room with, you put earplugs in your ears because you can't sleep. That's just a fault. And you ever been with any, eat with anybody and they just continually smack their lips when they're eating? You ever done that? And they'll take about, it's like, can you chew without doing that? And it just irritates the, dang, that's a fault. See, it just irritates the daylights out of you. Or here's one that used to, why? I don't know. But when you're eating with someone and you're eating, but they're not eating, and they're sitting and pushing their food around with their fork. You ever been with somebody like that? And they never take a bite? They'll pile their little peas or whatever it is, and then they'll repile them on the other side of the plate. It's like, would you please eat that? And then everybody's finishing and they haven't touched their food. And you say, Tony, I think that's your little problem. I'm sure it is. But we all have faults, don't we? We all say and do things that just irritate the dickens out of somebody else. And what he's saying is, if you're going to have harmony in relationships, you must have my holiness, my spirit in you, controlling you, so that you can overlook those faults. And don't get focused. Here, you know, in the marriage family work, when you're counseling with couples, it's amazing how many, probably 90%+ of the issues they bring is because they have begun focusing on a fault. It's not going to go away. If they snore, they snore. Send them to the doctor. You know what they'll do? They'll hook them up with a bunch of hoses and stuff, and then they're really making noise. Okay? And so what can you do? You know, and there's people, I don't know if you're married to anyone who doesn't know what a clothes hamper is. It just drops wherever it hits. You know, that's it. Drives you crazy. Or you walk into a bathroom and say, this bathroom was not built here to hang all those things that you've got hanging there. Why do you have to hang them all over the place? It feels like I'm walking through a jungle getting hit in the face with all this stuff. That's just human nature. And what he's saying is, they're faults. You probably see some things up here. I've had people point out to me things I do when I'm speaking. And it's like, it's a fault. What do I do? I don't know, but... And it's like, I have to say, because I'm a pastor, I have to say, well, thank you for pointing out my fault. I don't mean it, but I say it anyway. It's like, you mean pastors lie? Sure. Somebody would come up and say, Pastor, you know, I just really don't like the way you deliver a message. And we're saying, well, I'm sorry, but thank you for telling me that. We don't thank you for that. We're wanting to hurt you so bad. But we can't because of what we're called to do. And so, you know, and anyway. It's like, have you ever really been that way? Oh, I've lost count. Have you ever told somebody that you appreciate what they said to you when you really didn't? I've lost count of that too. And he says, well, God says you're not supposed to lie. I know I have to do a lot of confessing. But we have faults. And if I pointed out some of my faults in speaking that you have gotten used to, you would focus on them so bad you couldn't hear the rest of the message. But everybody that delivers, speaks in public, they'll have some faults. There's some things that just bug you. I've had people tell me that my hair bothers them. You know, because my hair sometimes will, this little piece right in front will just drop down. Probably is now, just a little bit. And that bothers some people. It's like, it's a fault. I just can't bring myself to get a perm. And anyway, so the thing is, don't get fixated and do what the scripture says. Make allowance for each other's faults. You'll never find the perfect person. Nobody can do it. Nobody can live. Listen, would you take your expectations for other people and put it before the Lord and ask Him to give back what's good and what's not? You won't get many back. We have expectations for life, for people, for church. And it's not meant, nobody and nothing's meant to live up to our expectations. Our expectations should be God's expectations, not our own. Not our own. And so, anyway, let's move from that one. Make allowance for each other's faults. And he said, forgive anyone who offends you. Do you have a choice? You know, my question on that is, do you have a choice but to forgive? Do you want to die earlier than you were meant to? Do you want to rush your death? Just stay angry at people. Your blood pressure is finally going to get you. Or you're going to get an ulcerated stomach. Or you're going to have too much reflux. Your heart's going to start whacking out. I mean, really, truly, if you let anger sit in your system, it's going to destroy your system. There's probably nothing more destructive than anger and stress. Why get stressed over somebody's being stupid? Seriously. And I kid you about, you know, I kid with you all the time about the crazy drivers on the interstate. But I do, and I have in my life, and I'm not going to tell you I wouldn't do it again. Sometimes they just get to me. This morning was very pleasant. Thank you. They all lived up to my expectations this morning. But once in a while, they don't. And I don't know why I have this thing. I don't know. I just go there immediately when somebody, when I'm going the speed limit, and it's 80 out there, and somebody just whips around on the left side there, and they're out of sight in no time. I know, where are they going? 90, 95, maybe 100? All I'm thinking about is, God, please don't let somebody pull off on an entrance ramp or something, because they're going to kill people. And I get so mad. And what good does it do? The thing to do is to pray and ask God to protect everybody else from their recklessness. But why should I be mad at it? You see? Ask yourself, why am I so worked up over this? Who am I? Am I playing God? That I can dictate to other people and get all angry when they don't live up to what I tell them to live up to? And what God is really saying, what he's saying in this word here, you know, forgive. What he's saying is, let it go. Just let it go. Forgive them. Some, you know, have you ever been, has anybody ever cussed you out? You ever been cussed out by anyone, anybody? Okay, you have? Yeah, you can't do law enforcement, not be, you know, you're going to get cussed out. Anybody else over here? Yeah. You can't do, what's that? Oh, he was raising his hand for you. I'm sorry. It was the wife that okay. You can't do this job without it. It's like, you know, have I been cussed out? Yeah. More than you'd imagine. Oh, yeah. Had them screaming at me. And, you know, and so what do? You hold on to it and you go home. Don't we do that? And we're just going on and on and on, and we can't eat. We can't relax. You can't take a shower without, you know, those sorry. And then we're thinking of everything we wish we'd have said. I hope I run into them again, because I'm going to tell them. And God is saying, if the quicker you let this go, the quicker I will deal with it. But if you keep getting in my way, I'm not going to deal with it, because I'm having to deal with you. And by the way, get this little message. Many times, I won't say always, but many times, God lets people insult you so you will learn to turn to Him. And if there's a weakness in your life and an area of spiritual immaturity, He'll keep letting things happen in that area till you let go and start growing. We're supposed to be changing on a daily basis and growing into Christ-likeness. And that just is not going to happen without some pressure. We just won't change. We're people. Human beings are prideful. And we're resistant. We want our own will and our own way so often. And so God lets things happen that humble us. Anybody been humbled lately by the Lord? Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you, Barry. Anybody else? Yeah. Why did he let it happen? Is he mad at you? No, he's trying to conform you to his will. I mean, that's what we agreed to in the contract, right? Didn't you sign a contract with God? You repented of your sins and asked Jesus in your heart. Don't you realize you signed a contract? It's what? He signs it in blood. And he wants your body. And he wants your mind. And he wants your heart. And he wants your soul. And everything about you, you give to him. That's the contract. And it's an eternal abiding contract. And God is faithful. He won't revoke it. We try to a lot of times, and God won't do it. So he says, you've got to bear with one another. You're going to have to learn to live with people. You can't go out there and be criticizing everybody in the world, because everybody has faults. And he said, just let go of complaining and griping and carry on. What good is it? Do you ever come home griping? Yep, about how stupid people are. How mean they are. How inconsiderate. Just wait, because the Bible says that in the latter days they're going to get worse. We'll have some messages on that. I don't bring them often because they're kind of down. They're downers, you know, and it's hard to be positive when you start talking about what it's going to get to. So God's saying, let me deal with those who hurt you. Let me deal with those who sin against you. Why? God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. Do you believe that? Then don't get in his way. Let it go. Sleep well at night. If nothing else, when people do you wrong, listen to me. They say you're wrong, they do you wrong. If you can get to that place of spiritual maturity where you can say, God, thank you for showing me their heart. Now I know I can't trust them. By their fruits you'll know them. And you just showed me where their needs are, and I'll know what to pray for. Can you do that? Let's move on, because I want to close this one up here, and you want me to close it up too. Oh, get some more. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. All right. I'll buy you lunch one of these days for that statement. Thank you. When he says put on love, that's a tough one. We throw that word love around in church and Christianity. Well, he's not talking about eros or phileo. You know, eros is that sexual love we get erotic from. Phileo is that brotherly, sisterly love, the love you feel for a family member or a good friend. He's not talking about that. When he says put on love, he's not saying I want you to put on some feeling. You see, that's what phileo goes a little deeper than erotic and eros from the Greek. He said, I don't want you to, it can't be just a physical attraction, and I don't want it to be an emotional thing here. He said, when I tell you to put on love, I want you to put on the love that I have for you, and that's a love that will sacrifice itself for another human being. It's a love that does not go around every day wanting to take an offense. There's some people, and I mean Christian people, who actually look to be offended. You ever been around any of them? They can't wait for you to make them mad. It's like, and what are they saying about themselves? It's like, you poor things. You know what you're saying about yourself? You're saying that you grew up in misery. There's some things in your life, you're just so used to bad. You know, you're dysfunctional. You're tied in to everything being abnormal, and you don't know what normal is. Bless your heart. That's what's wrong with people who they look for an opportunity to be mad. They're telling you, that's all I know in my life. I have to have you mad at me because I can't handle happiness. They don't need your anger. They need your third type of love. What's it called? Agape. That's God love. That's sacrificial love. That's love that looks into the human heart and says, I really care about what's there or what's missing from your life. You just revealed to me that all you've ever known is suffering. And Jesus Christ has come to give you healing, if you'll let him. So when he says, put on love, put on that agape love that goes the distance. You see the progression here? He's saying, get the junk out of your life so I can put the good in. Make room for me. And as you think about it this morning, how many of us in our hearts need to make some room for God to live in our lives? It's too full of junk. It's time to do a real spring cleaning and get out a bunch of stuff that you don't need there anymore. It's drawing dust, the dust of the world. Get it out of your head and get it out of your mind. You get it out of your heart so God can put his love in there. Love, listen, love binds us. And it says in a harmony. It says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And what he's saying there, you can't be tied into your fellow believers, even your own family, if you don't have God's love in your heart. You ever had anybody say, I love you, and you knew they were cold as an icicle? Just turns you off. You'd rather them not say it. You know, in this work, I've had it many times. And somebody looking and saying, I love you, Pastor. And it's like, you talk to your dog better than that. Really, you know, by their fruits you'll know them. And it's like, you know, when you tell somebody you love them, when you tell God you love him, he wants it really come from the heart. People need to see in your eyes and your expression, your whole being. And by the way, every wife and every husband needs to see that in each other. It's not necessarily the words all the time. It's what comes out of you that gives them the assurance that here is a love that would die for me. Do you have it? If you don't, he does, and he's more than willing to give it to you. Love binds us in a perfect harmony with each other. And what he's saying is this. All these virtues we've talked about, and all the tenderhearted mercy and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. He said love holds that together. It keeps it from slipping away. It's love that's going to keep it secure. You've got to have love. And he said from love, and I'll work through this real quick because I'm hungry. Are you hungry? I'm really hungry. I'm almost tasting, down here, down to Rudy's barbecue down here, they have that cream corn. It's the best cream corn anywhere, and I'm just craving it. And I'm going down there, I'm going to eat a whole pint of cream corn, and I'm not going to feel good for a couple of days, but I'm going to eat it anyway. So anyway, I shouldn't have said that. This is making it worse. And so anyway, he says, love holds all this other stuff in place, all these other virtues, but it does this. He says, with that love, let peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. You see, if I don't have the love of God in my heart, I'll never have peace. Because my heart and mind will be constantly churning, boiling in anger, in wrath, in frustration, unless I'm clothed with love that helps me let it go. And that's what, you see what he's saying? He said, you let this peace come in here. You've got to have peace. Don't you want peace? How many in here right now need peace in your life? Thank you. Thank you. Yes, you do. We all do. And you're not going to get it until you let some things go and you let God in. You let his love start covering you, encompassing you, possessing you. And the peace will come. And Jesus said, I give you peace, and I don't give it as the world gives. In other words, it's not going to be taken away. I'll give you peace, he says, no matter wars may be happening all around you. Things may be going south everywhere you go, but you'll have a peace in your heart that there's an eternal abiding love called Jesus Christ in your heart. And he is going to see you through if the world blows itself up. You need to have that. We're too worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. Walk with God today. Keep your faith in Christ today. He said, don't even worry, man. In Matthew, right? Don't worry about tomorrow. It'll worry about itself. He said, just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness today, and I'll give you everything you need. I worry about tomorrow. I worry about a lot of things. I've told you before, one of my faults. Is worrying. I have to go to God all the time. God, take this worry away from me. You know what worry's doing? It's taking his place. When I'm worried about a bunch of things, I'm saying, I need to handle this, and I'm not letting you do it. So he has to remind me of that constantly. Let it go, Tony. You're trying to control it again. You're trying to take care of it. You're not Mr. Fix-It. I am. You can fix anything, son. You just think you can. I'm the one that does it. So let peace rule. Get over it. Drop it. Let it go. Do it for Jesus' sake and for Jesus' honor. And then he says, let the word of Christ live in you. You know what he says? Look at it. Let the message about Christ, the word of Christ, live in all its richness in your lives. He said, get in that word and stay in it. Instead of quoting a bunch of human stuff out there to people and slinging a bunch of slang and slandering them, just quote the word of God to them. Most people will walk off if you start quoting God's word. If you want to get rid of somebody, just start talking about the Bible. If they're a real Christian, they'll stay. But most people, they're out of here. Well, I need to go. I think my dog's not well. Cat looked puny this morning when I walked out the door. But they're going to get out of there. If you want to get rid of your adversaries, you start talking about Jesus Christ and see what happens. They're gone. So you let the word of Christ live in you and let it be in there richly with all wisdom. And he says, teach and admonish one another. What does that mean? We're going to have to teach each other by our lifestyle, by sharing the word, how we live about Christ. And we got to admonish each other. Once in a while, we're just going to have to say, hey, get up off of it and get going. You're letting the woes and cares of life weigh you down. Let's go. Forget it. Let's go. Move on. So you got hurt. So you got, you know, liable. So somebody slandered you. Big deal. Isn't it? I mean, why make a big deal out of it? By the way, they lied to us when we were kids. I just want to say this as a close. You remember what they told us? They lied to me. I know that. I don't know. They told you this in school. They said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's the biggest lie in the world. Because more people have been killed and destroyed by words than any war we've ever had. Words get in your head. By the way, I'm bringing a message on that, on how people and things get in our head and what we have to do to get them out. There's words I can remember from childhood. Things said, don't you? Words kill. Words maim. Words destroy. And so whoever made that up, you know. Well, anyway, we're supposed to forgive, so we'll let that one go. They do hurt. And friends, you're going to have to let those piercing words be removed by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and He will. If you'll wrap yourself in love, let go of the anger from it, and all the resentment and all the stuff we've already said, and clothe yourself with love and let His peace come in, He will remove those stinging, barbed words from your life. Occasionally will you think of them, yes, but they won't have any power. Let those dirty, no good words be stripped out of your life and made powerless by Jesus Christ. So teach and counsel with all wisdom. And then in closing, and we really are closing, sing to God in psalms and hymns and all these things. And that's so wonderful. It doesn't mean you go around singing a song all the time. What it means, you need to be a living psalm and a living hymn and a spiritual song, what? To God. Let your life be a musical instrument to God. You hearing this? Let your life bring forth fruit. Be a harmony that pleases the Father in the way you live. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. He said, let whatever you do, do it as God's representative. And guess what? We go forth from here today, and you remember this one thing, if you don't get anything else from this, you are, I am, we all are God's representative. And He won't let us off the hook, so you may as well enjoy it. Get on with it. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for the power of it. Thank You for the grace, the goodness. Thank You, God, that even when we just blow it, there You are. You don't tell us to do something that You're not doing a million times over. And You're forgiving us. You're not holding something against us. And we say ugly words and do so many things and think ugly thoughts. And yet, the very things You're telling us to do here, let it go, you know, forgive and all, and bear with them, that's what You do. And we thank You for it. You just never quit on us, do You? Never. And You said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, and God is always faithful, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.